You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 990. Got a great show here. We're going to be looking at what is the best website builder for WordPress at the end of 2025 and the beginning of 2026. We've got an expert on the show that does tutorials on some of these page builders. I see him as a monster gangster, as we would say in London. A bit of London slang there. We got James Webbis. How do you pronounce your second name?
Welbis.
Welbis. James Welbis. So, James, should be a great show with James. James, can you just give us a quick 10, 15 second intro, and then when we go into the main part of the show, we're going your background in a little bit more detail.
Sure, yeah. I build websites exclusively with WordPress. I have been using WordPress for a long time. I don't know or want to know how long it's been since I've been using WordPress. I've recently started using a new website builder. Traditionally, I've been using Themify, which is a kind of a typical Elementor, Divi type alternative, you know, page builder experience. And so the past couple months have been very interesting for me as I've been diving into a new page builder and a new CSS framework and been learning a ton, but it's all still WordPress.
That's fantastic. And I've got my great co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers to the tribe?
Yeah, sure thing, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Manana Nomas, and I work directly with the great team over at WP Tonic.
All right. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out we've also got some great special offers from the sponsors of the show, plus a created list of the best WordPress plugins and services really aimed at the WordPress professional. You can get all these free goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And you'll find all the free goodies there. What more could my WordPress professionals ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. I've made a career of disappointment. But there we go. James, let's go straight into the interrogation. I've got my tools of trade in front of me. If you resist, I will utilize the more advanced tools on you. But there we go. I'm only kidding. So can you delve in? How did you get initially into the world of web design, development? What led to this journey, James?
When I was about 12, I had a friend who would build websites, and I didn't understand how that was possible. And I just assumed that he was some sort of like genius savant, you know? And I kept like bugging him to teach me how to do it. And finally he was like, just right click on a website and click view source and figure it out. 'Cause back then, you know, you could do that. The code nowadays, if you do that, you know, there's a lot going on in there. But back in the day, websites were a lot more simple. So you really could just right-click on a website, click view source, and teach yourself how HTML works. And so I did that. That was my first sort of introduction to web development. I built my very first website. It was a Dragon Ball Z fan page, and it's still live to this day on Angel Fire, which is crazy that that still exists. But I never really took it seriously. It was just a thing that I did for fun and didn't even learn like CSS. It was literally just HTML. I didn't learn CSS until later in probably my late 20s. I finally was like, all right, if I'm going to take this seriously, I should probably learn CSS. And then eventually heard about WordPress. I tried it out. I absolutely hated it. I didn't understand it. Coming from a background of, if you want a page, you create an HTML file. That's just how websites work. And then I tried WordPress and I created a page in WordPress. And then I started poking around the files, trying to figure out where that HTML file was and couldn't find it, of course, because that's not how WordPress works. So it just confused me and I hated it. And I thought, I'm never going to use this. I don't know why anybody uses it. Didn't understand the concept of a database or a dynamic, website at all. And I was like, you know what? People keep talking about this WordPress thing. And so it's gotta be me. I finally decided, I was like, it's gotta be me. The reason that this isn't working, it's not WordPress, because everybody else seems to love it. So I just stuck with it. And I slowly learned how it worked. And I slowly figured out, this whole PHP dynamic website database thing, the template system, all that stuff. I still kind of hated it because I didn't understand how, why I would install a theme and I would go look at my website and it would look nothing like the demo from the website where I got the theme from. I didn't understand that, there's still a lot of work involved in making your website actually look the way you want. So it was kind of a slow process. And in the beginning, I hated it and I told people it was dumb, but obviously I came around in the end. It was all ignorance. It was why I hated WordPress. I just didn't understand how it worked. And the more I learned about WordPress, the more, I came to actually like it. And eventually, it's all I use. I don't build websites from scratch using React or anything like that. If I build a website, it's going to be in WordPress.
Yes, fantastic. So, all right, let's move it over to Kurt. Over to you.
Well, it's interesting because I'm as old as dirt as well, and I started around 2000 playing on the internet, making websites. And I went the Dreamweaver path, HTML, Dreamweaver, and Macromedia to 2004, I think, was the software that I latched onto and bought.
I've got a worse confession, Kirk. I was a Flash developer.
I had Flash too. I thought Flash was amazing. And I had this really cool website. It would, do all these cool things when you hit the link. And it's not like that anymore, to your point, James. Like, things are different. And when WordPress came out, I was horribly confused. But then I was like, there's got to be something to it, because things just seem to fall in place. So over time, as things evolved and changed, I kind of went the same direction. But then I got lost in the page builder space, right? And so, I still remember, what was it? Omnibuilder or something like that was out. Origin Blocks. I remember Origin Blocks and things like that. And so if we think about all of that evolution, where would you say we're at now connected to like WordPress page builders here in 2025?
Where are we at in 2025 with page builders? Page builders, first of all, there's a lot of them. We're at a point where there's definitely no shortage of page builders. You can get a little bit overwhelmed trying to decide, which one to use. And to be fair, I think... I'm going to be honest, I don't have a ton of experience with all these page builders, but it's kind of one of those things where if that's the experience you're looking for, it almost doesn't matter which one you use. Like, you can build a business using Elementor, you can build a business using Divi, you can build a business using Themify. There might be certain things that these people will say they prefer about Elementor, and other people say, well, I prefer this about Divi. But for the most part, they're all the same thing. They're drag and drop builders. They're using style panels. They're competing with each other. So if Elementor has a feature that Divi doesn't, chances are Divi's going to probably have it pretty soon, and vice versa. So, and it wasn't always like that. I mean, in the beginning, you know, I remember there's a builder that came out, I think it was called Seven or the Seven or something like that. That was one of the first ones I remember as being sort of a impressive kind of visual builder. And I feel like I even saw Divi before I ever saw Elementor, even though Elementor is kind of the king now. I don't know if it's true that Divi came out first or if that was just my personal experience. But so we're just at a time where it's like, man, we went from pretty quickly, we went from no page builders to so many different page builders. And it is kind of actually frustrating as a if you're going to be in this space and you get a new client and you're managing a bunch of different websites and every single one of them has a completely different builder. It can be a little frustrating to have all those different options for sure.
For me, you know, with the Elementor space, because it took me a while to adopt it. And then it seemed like I used it as a crutch really badly. Like I was like, I can do everything in Elementor. And so I was doing that. And then I was running into issues with customers because they would think, oh, I'm just going to go in and change this heading real quick. Or I'm just going to change this image. And then they would open up the WordPress editor. They'd make a change, save it. And then, of course, all the formatting would disappear. And I'd get the emergency emails about how our hosting was broken or you know, we broke their website. And I was like, well, let me guess, you changed something and then you didn't do it in Elementor, right? And so then you end up having to like teach people the Elementor side of things. And that's where I really began to sense a little bit of stress as an agency owner, because it was like, I want to build the product, but I don't want to, and I don't mind teaching people, but I'm not getting compensated to teach people, right? It's like, so I kind of leaned away from the Elementor space and then got into more of like the Astra and the Cadence as they increased, you know, Spectra and Cadence Pro and Cadence Blocks and things. But then again, I started looking at other page builder options. And then I think, to your point, there's just so many choices. Like, you know, there's Ali, there's GeneratePress, there's Cadence, Astra, Elementor, Divi. And they all seem to have their own little cults too.
That's true. And there's kind of two cults. There's the block editor cult, and then there's the anti-block editor cult. So you have themes like Ali and Cadence, which are block themes. And they're basically libraries of a bunch of custom blocks. And then you have Divi, Elementor. Those are absolutely the opposite. They don't use the block. You can't even use the block editor, like, which is frustrating. If you install a plugin, let's say if some form plugin, and they have a block where you drop a block on your page and that adds a form to the page, well, you can't use that if you're using Elementor or Divi, because you can't add blocks. You can only add an Elementor module, or you can only add a Divi module. So if they don't have a short code, you're kind of screwed and you have to use a different plugin. So there's definitely pros and cons to both. And there's two separate, completely separate camps. Like if you like the block editor, you're not going to want to use Elementor. You're going to want to look at Cadence, or you're going to want to look at Ali. But if you hate the block editor, you're not going to even consider Cadence or Ali, because those are just block editor themes. So there's definitely two camps there. And the word cult, I think, is appropriate. because there's some people that are just really, really passionate about certain things. And yeah, it's been, you mentioned Twitter earlier, Jonathan. Twitter it's been fun. There's been a lot of fun conversations on Twitter between these two camps.
There's one way of putting it. Well, there's a boundary. There's a boundary, and some people regularly step over that boundary, in my opinion. But what would I know, James? So let's have a bit of a fun game. Hopefully, James, you can stay on a bit for some bonus content. We normally wrap up the podcast after an hour. Kirk has to go on the hour, but hopefully you can stay on for a little while. Do you think you'll be able to stay on?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. And we'll delve in. But in the podcast part of the show, let's have a little game, James. I love my games, James. So I'm gonna go through. I've added Divi because I forgot Divi. Bless their hearts. I've added Divi to the list, which I gave to James before this interview. We got a list of not all the page builders. That would be, we would be here for about 4 hours. But what I see is some of the leaders. So I'm going to name it, James. And I just want a one sentence, what comes in your mind when I mention the page builder. And then in the bonus content, we can go into a bit more detail about each one. But are you ready for the game, James?
I suppose I should preface this by saying I don't have a ton of experience with some of these builders, but I can still form opinions about
them. Well, I think most of the people don't, but that doesn't stop them from commenting on Twitter, does it?
Yeah.
It never stops anybody in the WordPress space to have an opinion, even if they don't know anything what they're talking about. They never stopped it. They never stopped anybody on Twitter, did it? So let's start the game. So if I say Elementor, what comes in your mind, James?
Oh, man, a big steaming pile of garbage mostly. I've never liked Elementor, and I can't tell you if it's because I genuinely just don't like it or if it's because I used Themify for so many years and I'm just so used to Themify and how it works. But every time I've had to log into an Elementor website for a client, it's just been a headache. I don't like the UI. I don't know what it is about it. I just hate it. I hate working in it. I also don't like what Kurt mentioned, how you can't, you know, there's, if you click edit, you edit the page in the page builder, but that's not where you're supposed to edit. You got to click edit with Elementor and you can break stuff. And yeah, I don't like it at all. I also don't like that I don't like the whole philosophy of that type of builder.
Well, yeah, let's move on. What comes into your mind when I say GeneratePress?
Nothing. Because I've never used it, I've never looked at it, I've never logged into a website that had that installed on it, which is kind of surprising because I know it's popular.
Well, let's fall back on the backup. Let's ask Kirk then. Kirk's going to be the backup. So, Kirk, what do you think? Would I say GeneratePress?
I think it's a fine page builder. You can get the end result you want, and they have a ton of like starter templates, like. First drafts for people to get started with content, because I know a lot of people struggle with the blank page.
Right, let's move on. If I say to you, James, Beaver Builder, what comes into your mind, James?
Also very little. It's been so long. I had a friend who used to build websites in Beaver Builder, and he seemed to like it. But again, I'm not sure if I've ever actually used it before. I'm sure there's been one or two times back in the day where I've had to use it, but I really have nothing, no thoughts on that one as well.
Well, I think so. That wasn't really a fantastic answer, James, but we're going to let you get away with that. We're going to ask my co-host, which you've got enough. I was shocked when he deserted me, James, and he found another co-host. You got another podcast with another great co-host, haven't you?
And
they use Beaver Builder for all their projects, don't they?
Yeah, Toby over at the Mighty Mo, he uses Beaver Builder pretty much exclusively. And, you know, Robbie and the team, they're great people. Like, I love the Beaver Builder team. However...
You're not a fan, are you?
Not a fan of using the actual builder itself. It's I found it kind of cumbersome and way back, Lifter LMS used to be in Beaver Builder. So we used to have to make edits in that. So yeah, I'm just not it's just not as clear cut and concise of a process to me as I would like it to be.
All right. Let's move on. Cadence WP, what do you reckon of that one, James?
if somebody is holding a gun to your head and saying you have to use the block editor, then I would say you should probably look into Cadence. I don't like the block editor, but I used to work for the company that owns Cadence. And so
Ben, what was it like? Did you work with Ben at all directly?
Not really. I worked on the events calendar at first, and then I worked on Restrict Content Pro. I actually helped launch Orderable for a little bit. And I worked on Member Dash and Learn Dash. So I know who Ben is, but I didn't really work with him.
Yeah, great developer. I think GeneratePress or Cadence WP are, to me, a couple of the premier Gutenberg-based technologies, but Ollie's pretty good as well. So let's move on to something you probably have got something to say about, James. Let's look at bricks. So if I said bricks to you, what you got to say about that?
Bricks. So I was looking into bricks and I bought a license for it before Etch came out. So
do you have to swear?
Do I have to swear?
Sorry, down.
Not yet.
You suck, guys. I'm sorry.
I know British people love to swear.
When I have a session, Kurt will say, I don't normally, but when I have a session, I really do have a session, don't I, Kurt?
Yeah, when I worked at Stellar, my boss for a long time was Jack. He's from England, and he was an interesting character. He knew a swear word or two. But where was I going? Bricks. Bricks is an interesting builder because it's not like I wouldn't lump it with the block editor, of course. It's not a block theme like Cadence or Ollie, but it's also not like Elementor or Divi. It's one of those builders, and there's a few other builders that are similar to it. I think Oxygen and Breakdance are kind of similar, where it's just very much like style panel driven. So you have just a panel of all sorts of styles that you'd want to mess with. And that's basically how you build your site. It's like a very web flowy type experience. And I was probably going to switch to bricks. I built one simple website with it, and coming from Themify, I liked it. I liked that it used the language of web development versus making stuff up like Elementor and Divi and Gutenberg. So it's a pretty solid builder. As you probably already know, though, I've moved on to a different builder, which I much prefer, but not counting that builder that I'm using now. I mostly have positive things to say about bricks, I think. And I didn't use it a ton, but when I did use it, I was pretty impressed with it.
Yeah, Thomas and his crowd seem really great people. I think it's built not in React. I think they use Vue to actually build the product, but I might be wrong there. So let's move on. What if I say Ollie WP, what would you say?
Similar to Cadence, I tried to build a site with Ollie. I made a YouTube video about it. And there's a few things that I like about it. It to me, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to be rude, but to me, it mostly just felt like it was a big pattern library. They had a few little features, you know, for the theme. But for the most part, it felt like when I was using Ollie, I basically was just using Gutenberg with a big old library of a whole bunch of pre-designed patterns. And so that's just it's not for me. Again, if you're using the block editor and you like the block editor, then I think it's probably a really good option. And the cool thing is you can use some of these things together. Like you could use Cadence. Cadence has a plugin that's just a bunch of custom blocks they've created. You could use that, and you could use Ollie, or you could use, you know, patterns from Ollie and use the Cadence theme. So there's some, that's one of the pros I would say maybe to the block editor is that, you know, anybody who's created a library of patterns or custom blocks, you can use all of them. You don't have to just pick one and stick with it. But it wasn't really for me. It's not building a website from patterns and then having to just redesign every single pattern to match the design that I'm actually going for. It's not really my preferred workflow. I do like they had a new feature for animations. I want to call that Ali Pro has they just released a feature a month or two ago that lets you very easily add animations to your page. So I played around with that and I thought that was pretty impressive. And I think their new CSS class manager is pretty well done.
Rightio. So Breakdance, what do you got to say about Breakdance?
I've never used it. I've looked at it. It seems to be pretty similar to kind of a Bricks type thing. Just a very style panel driven, uses the language of web design. So I like that. I've never used it, but I think if I was forced to use it, I wouldn't want to jump off a bridge.
All right. It seems very popular, doesn't it? I don't know much about it. So, Kirk, have you looked at it? I think you've looked at it a bit, haven't you?
We've covered it on the Membership Machine show a couple of times, you know, and did an overview service evaluation of it. But, it doesn't pop off as one of my favorites.
But it's used by, you know, I am going to look at it a little bit, but there you go. One I added to the last minute because I should have done Divi. So what's your views on Divi, James?
Pretty much the same view that I had about Elementor. I don't like it.
But which Divi are we talking about? Are we talking about Divi Classic or are we talking about Divi 5?
Yeah, I haven't used Divi 5, so can't really speak to that. But Divi Classic, I don't like it. I recently had a client who was on Divi, and I immediately moved them off of Divi to a builder that wasn't even fully released yet. That's how much I did not like working in Divi.
No, they're fantastic people, but when I was actually taking clients directly, any Divi project, it always ended up but in a bit of a nightmare for me. But there's a whole host of people, they just love it, don't they, James?
They do. It was one of the first of these sort of visual drag and drop builders.
Certainly was. So let's finish with Etch. So what if I said Etch to you, what would you say back to me, James?
Never heard of it. What is that?
Yeah, exactly. What is it?
Etch is, I like to call it.
You're getting in the right frame of mind now, James. You're understanding the show.
Good, good. Sarcasm is my first language.
Unfortunately, the founder of Etch doesn't understand my humor, really. Doesn't appreciate it, James.
That's okay.
So there we go.
Etch, I like to call Etch the Dreamweaver of WordPress. I mentioned that Bricks was kind of different. It deviated from the normal sort of either block builder or this drag and drop page builder. Etch is even like more different, like went one step further away from both of those camps. It is a builder. There are visual aspects to it. For instance, when I want to add a section to the page, I click the button for section. So there's that sort of page builder aspect to it. But at the same time, you are always have access to the code. So when you click that section button, literally all it's doing is adding an HTML section tag to your project, which you can see in the HTML panel, and you can edit that in the HTML panel. If you change your mind and you want that to be a div instead of a section, you could just delete the word section, type the word div. So you have this sort of just very, very different development environment that you've really never seen in WordPress before, that allows you to just have a lot more control over the output of the website. As you know, one of the things people complain about with Elementor and Divi is when you go look at the code on the front end, there's so much stuff.
Elementor, Divitis, as I call it. Never.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Just, and Gutenberg does it too. I mean, I was just building a very simple plugin yesterday that the plugin adds a button to the front end. And I went and I looked at the front end and they wrapped that button in a div. and I had AI build the block. And that was just sort of the default process. And so I told the AI, hey, take that extra div out. I don't need that. I just want a button. And it did it. So like it is possible to build a block properly. Gutenberg just chooses not to. But that sort of stuff that people complain about with Elementor and Divi, you don't have that when you build a website with a tool like Etch, because literally the only stuff that shows up on the front end is what you put in. If you add a link, that's all that you get. If you add a section, that's all that you get. So I really appreciate that aspect. And that's just but one
would
of
you, would many you things. Say that Brix doesn't do that?
I don't know. I think Brix is a lot better about that than the other builders. Like I said, I only built one website with Brix, and I do think that they are pretty good about not adding a bunch of extra divs and things like that. So, and I don't know about things like Breakdance and Oxygen if they do similar stuff. I just know for sure Elementor, Divi, and Gutenberg are pretty bad at this.
Yeah. All right. That was our little element of the show there. I think James dealt with the madness really great. We're going to go for our mid-break, and we will be back with some other questions with James. You've got a very noisy keyboard as well. Extremely. That's a massively noisy keyboard, James. We will be back in a few moments.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, and more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at wprollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a dive in all the leading page builders, but we left out at least 20 of them. Maybe that's one of the problems of building a website in WordPress in the end of 2025. There is so much choice. But it was a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I'd like to say that we've also got another great show called the Membership Machine Show. So if you want to learn about all the best technology to build a membership or community website as a power user or a freelancer, go and search for the Membership Machine Show. It's a great show. It's done by me and Kirk as well, and it's a bit of a laugh. We delve into the world of WordPress and membership. Should find it interesting, folks. Over to you, Kirk, for the next question.
Well, I just kind of want to touch on kind of that list of page builders again too. Because I think I'm in a very similar camp to James. I wanted to get to this question, and I want to ask it as delicately as possible. And I'll share with you. I tried to adopt Brix, right? So I adopted Brix before Etch was released. Etch was released. I was super excited. I fell for it. The guy got all my money, like early adopter. Boom. I'll pay. I'm in. And I'm just going to be honest with you, man, from an adoption standpoint, it's just a completely different experience for me. And I'm so busy with the other facets of running my agency that I partly my fault. I just haven't had enough time to put into adopting this Etch platform. I'm finding the learning curve to be immense. Did you find that as well, or was it more adoptable for you with your developer background?
There was a little bit of that with me, but I didn't jump in on Etch quite that early. I didn't know anything about Kevin or his products before Etch, so I wasn't one of those guys who was like loving automatic CSS and frames. And so there's a lot of people like that who gave Kevin money before they wrote a single line of code for Edge. I was not one of those people. I waited until I saw videos, until I actually saw Kevin using Etch in some of his live streams. So before I bought it, I had already seen him use it a little bit. And so that definitely helped, because it is, it really is like, it's sort of like, if you haven't built a lot of websites, or maybe you kind of poked around HTML, CSS a little bit, and then somebody plopped you down in front of Dreamweaver and said, build a website. It's like, yeah you'd be lost there too. Or if you'd never used a page builder before and somebody sat you down in front of Elementor and said, build a website, I mean, you'd be just as lost. So there definitely is a bit of a learning curve with Etch, because it's completely different. It's the first WordPress builder like it. And so if you haven't watched some videos to see somebody else using it, I imagine you would be pretty lost. And there's been some discussion about that internally as well, about like onboarding and things like that. How do you go about properly onboarding folks? For me, just watching Kevin use it is the best onboarding experience. Just watch his live stream, go back and they're all public on his YouTube, so you can go back and watch him. Just watch him use it, and then go in and start playing around, and your biggest barrier will be your knowledge of CSS. And that's something that you can just easily get better at.
Yeah. But it was like, for me, it was like, there was the promise of, you know, if you're an Elementor user, we have the style panel you're going to be able to use. And I was like, oh, that's for a guy like me. And then his style panel doesn't have any of the starter elements that other page builders have. Like, it has the field, right? But it's like, if you don't know what to put in that field, nothing's going to happen on the page. Whereas with Elementor, you can kind of click around and things start to happen. You go, oh, now I get it, you know? So you got to know stuff before you can do stuff. You don't like learn by experimentation, I don't think. I think you kind of have to know it to do it.
Yeah, one of the problems with Elementor is you can style something without adding a class to it, which is just poor web development practice. And so like with Etch, if you drop a section on the page and then you click on that section, you will see no styling options. You can't do anything to it. You have to add a class. Once you add a class, then you get all the options, and it's similar to Webflow. You know, if you want to adjust the border radius, you find borders and you click on radius. But that can be a little jarring for some people when they add something to the page and they can't style it, and they're wondering why they can't style it. It's because you got to add a class to it first, for sure. And you may have heard they're getting rid of the style panel. So
I heard
if you like the style panel. Sorry, but to be fair, they are replacing it with something that's much better and faster and easier to use. They call it they're calling it the mini GUI, because what it is it's GUI. It's a graphical interface, right? It's actually inside the CSS panel. And so, all the basic things you would normally do, like you want to give it display flex or align item center or whatever. If you happen to be looking at a paragraph, it will give you text options like font size, color, all that stuff. So it's basically like a style panel, but it's much more convenient. You're not going from here to there and clicking and going to all these different areas. It's just right there while you're doing the CSS. You can either just type the CSS or you can click a button if you want to. And so in my opinion, it's sort of the best of both worlds for people that like to click stuff or people that like to type stuff. The truth is there are times where you want to type and there are times where you want to click. And so I think this mini GUI is a perfect sort of combination of those two philosophies.
Well, the more I use it, the more I'm starting to type. So I guess it's rubbing off on me.
Cause you realize it's actually faster than clicking all around and going and trying to find, oh, where is this? Is it under layout? Is it under it's actually faster to just type, oh, I want a border radius, 10 pixels, move on.
Yeah. Well, that takes us to our next question. And that was, you know.
Can I add something to it before we go to something? It's only a fault in my mind, James, but do you think, because like in your background, it's a little bit like my background, you got introduced into the world of WordPress before Elementor really hit the WordPress space at the same time as Beaver Builder, and I'm sure there was other page builders. But Elementor with Beaver Builder really changed the market. And I've seen people who entered the world of web design. But I say that you also had Divi as well, didn't you? They're the three, probably Divi was the first, but I think it was Elementor and Beaver Builder that really shook the market. But you see a whole host of people that all they know is Elementor, or all they know is Beaver Builder. And what you outlined in Etch and with HTML5 and sections and, really optimize code and remove dividers. A lot of people in the world of Divi wouldn't even know what we meant by dividers. Do you think that is a major dividing line amongst people that are making websites? Or do you think I've got that wrong, James?
Oh, no, there's for sure a dividing line there. There's the whole no-code, low-code philosophy, which is Elementor, Divi, all that stuff. And there's a huge dividing line between these two types of builders.
Well, it's getting worse, isn't it? When you add AI and Lovable and systems like that, isn't it? It's actually getting worse. Well, what is worse, the right word?
It's getting more interesting, and there are a lot more discussions because more people are able to jump in. And AI is basically, depending on what you're doing, AI would probably be considered a no-code, low-code solution because you yourself don't need to know code to use it, even though the result is obviously code. So, yeah, there's a lot of, but that's almost a third camp because, there's people who are all in on things like Elementor or Divi who are anti-AI. So it's not like the AI crowd just gets to jump in and be part of this low-code, no-code camp. There's kind of like three camps now, with a little bit of overlap maybe here and there. But so it's definitely very interesting. A lot of good conversations on Twitter about it for sure.
Well, over to you, Kurt. I just thought I'd add that, Kurt.
The next question, and it kind of, to me, it's kind of an extension of our conversation here, but for you yourself, what do you see as the biggest challenges that WordPress is looking at, for the next year and a half?
Besides their leader, they have some challenges coming. First of all,
That was Kevin.
Kevin?
I thought Kevin was the leader of WordPress.
No, for some people he is. They have some challenges. One of them is, I think, complacency. I think that, anytime you criticize WordPress, you get the cult will jump on you and they'll tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. WordPress powers 40% of the internet, blah, 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 blah. And Blockbuster used to power 100% of your movie and TV show watching experience. So just because WordPress is the king right now doesn't mean 10, 15 years from now, they're still going to be the king. And there's some evidence that WordPress adoption may be slowing down or starting to plateau. We've had about 5 straight years of no market share growth, which is odd. WordPress has been growing in market share every year since it existed. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it's just a data point. And if you bring that up, people start coming at you with all sorts of excuses and blah, blah, blah. So I think complacency could be an issue. I think if everybody just sort of thinks, well, WordPress will never go anywhere because it's the king right now, then they're not going to be very motivated to innovate and try to keep up with competition. Just because they look at the numbers and they say, oh, WordPress has this much and number two has this much. We're fine. We don't need to worry about it. So I think that could be a problem. I also think AI could be a problem. I know a lot of people don't want to admit that. There's a lot of people who are just so sure that they're just too important to be replaced by AI. And what they do is just too it's just too important. It's too good. And AI can never replace what they do. And I would like to remind those people that AI is only 3 years old. It's only been a thing for 3 years, and it's already doing some pretty stupid things. You can build entire websites with it. I've built many WordPress plugins with it. It's only getting better. And if you're looking at where it is right now and thinking, oh, it's not a great solution right now, so therefore I don't have to worry about it, I feel like that's just not a smart way to go about looking at your business. I think you need to ask yourself, if AI is doing this after only 3 years, what is it going to be doing 5 years from now? What is it going to be doing 10 years from now? I'm only 41. I probably have 20 more years at least of working. So what is AI going to be doing 15 years from now? Am I going to be working my last days in a factory because my skill has been rendered completely useless by AI? I don't know. It's entirely possible. 15 years is a very long time. So that's something that not just WordPress is going to have to deal with. It's something that Webflow, Squarespace, Shopify, everybody's going to have to be a little bit worried about. What is AI going to be capable of?
Yeah, the future is going to be us working as electricians so we can make more server for AI.
Yep, or batteries. I've seen the Matrix. I know where this is going.
So the complacency thing for me as a follow-up is, it's interesting because I'm kind of like boots on the ground from my position. I talk at some of the schools, and kids that are in, you know, IT kind of like origin classes in high school and community college, they want to come hear my talks. And then when I give the talks, nobody in the room is familiar with WordPress. Like, there's no young energy coming. They like to talk about code. They like to talk about no code solutions. They of course love to talk about, you know, AI and you know, building things with AI and vibe coding. It sounds cool. But like my last talk had 60 kids in the room and only two had ever heard of WordPress before. And they were all in IT classes. And so that really struck me as that complacency thing that you described is like, as a community, we need to do a better job of letting younger generations know what we do, what we use, how cool the tool could actually be. And to your point, I think if AI continues to grow in the WordPress space, we're going to be able to do more and more with WordPress intuitively with AI. It's not that I don't think AI and WordPress are necessarily exclusive of each other. I think they'll be tied together if we use it smartly.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when you say WordPress, that can mean different things. You know, that could mean the actual platform. What do they have to worry about in the coming years? But it could also mean what are plugin developers going to have to worry about over the next 5 years? And AI is definitely something that I don't understand. I've seen so many people who own companies that develop WordPress plugins and stuff who are like, oh, I'm just not worried at all about AI. No, we offer so much more than just a product. You know, when you buy a plugin, you get the support, you get this and that and the planning and all this stuff. And it's just like, bro, come on. People are building plugins with AI. If you sell plugins and you're not worried about the fact that now people can build plugins by just talking at their computer, then I don't know, like, how are you even a successful business owner at this point? And I know that sounds very judgmental, but to just completely dismiss AI because, oh, I just offer so much more than that. Do you though? You sell plugins. And if I can make a plugin myself and not have to pay you $150 a year for that plugin for every single website that I'm using, you got to be worried about that at least a little bit. Like, how could you not at least be somewhat worried about the impact that AI is going to have? Cause you say, well, they come up with all these reasons about why it's better to buy a plugin from someone like them versus making your own. And that everything they say is correct. However, people are idiots. So just because it's a better idea to buy a plugin from a reputable company doesn't mean people are going to. If they find out they can build a plugin with AI and save a little bit of money, they're gonna. Whether it's a good idea or not, they're still going to do it.
Well, it's always been there, isn't it? There's a difference between Premiere and free. Isn't it? I agree with a lot what you say, but I also agree with somewhat some of the plugin producers. I think there's a middle ground here, but I think we're in a period of tremendous flux. So where the actual middle ground is, who knows? It's still very difficult to make a judgment call, but I definitely agree with, well, there's a famous WordPress YouTube influencer that made a couple of months ago a notorious video where he said that no WordPress plugin should be more than $50, and to spend more than $50 on a plugin was madness. Obviously, that statement was a bit of clickbait, a little bit.
And that video pissed me off.
It was such a ridiculous statement in some ways, but it's got one of the largest YouTube channels in the WordPress space to some extent. So it does make you wonder, doesn't it? So Kurt's got to go off quickly, and hopefully we can have some bonus content. I think you're up for it, Jones. But let's go for the final question. If you could go back to the beginning of your career journey, what little bit of tips or quick bit of advice, if you had 5 minutes to yourself and you could go back to the start, what would you tell yourself, Jones?
I mean, aside from buy all the Bitcoin that you can, I would, if I wasn't allowed to take advantage of the stock market, I would tell myself, I think I would say, don't join the Navy. Instead, take web design or web development seriously. Because like I mentioned before, I didn't take it seriously at all until probably sometime in my 20s. And I feel like I really missed out on sort of the dot-com boom or whatever. I feel like I could have made so much money in high school building websites because nobody knew how to build websites back then. And I could have actually started to build a business and really build a name for myself back then, as opposed to waiting, until I'm in my 20s and everybody's building websites and, you know, you got people in India building websites for $100. And I just really feel like I missed an opportunity there to focus on web development when I was younger. And when my brain was younger and is easier to learn stuff, I would love to know how much would I know right now about things like JavaScript and PHP if I had started trying to learn those things when I was 16 instead of waiting until my 20s to try to learn those things. So I think that would be my advice, is just actually learn this, take it seriously, and start a business.
Good advice. We're going to wrap it up now. So, James, but we're going to do bonus content, and you'll be able to listen and watch the bonus content and the full interview on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Please go over there and watch the whole interview and subscribe to the channel. That really does support the show. So, James, we're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show. What's the best way for people to find out more about you, James?
You can find me on Twitter at James Welbus. I also have a website that is in the process of being built, jameswelbus.com. Probably Twitter. If you just want to connect and learn more about me, probably Twitter is the best way to do that.
And Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Kurt?
For business, I'm at Mañana Nomás, Mañana Nomás on all the socials, and mañananomás.com. And then if you want to connect personally, just hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn a lot, and I'm the only Kurt Von Onen there.
That's fantastic. We will be back next week with another, I think we'll be, but I'm not sure, actually. It might be Christmas.
It's Christmas next week.
So we probably won't be here, will we? Well, I don't know.
I will not be here next week.
No, we won't be there next week. Sorry, I'm losing track here. But we will be back the following week. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.